All right, on this episode of MMA Canada Radio, very excited to be talking to an individual competing on March 31st, which goes down at Sinbi Boxing Stadium in Thailand, a USA versus Canada flyweight title fight as Colt Kilbasa and James Clark get out there to test skills, and great having James on MMA Canada Radio. How are you doing, man? You having a solid day?
Yeah, not too bad, man. Just living life in Thailand, man. Can't complain. So I've been out here for just over 2 months now. Got a little under a month to go. I believe it's 19 days. Who's counting? And yeah, just thankful to finally getting a fight again and showing everybody about what we've been working on. Soul season.
Yeah, and this is your sixth time in Thailand, right?
Yeah, this is my sixth time, and actually this is the longest trip I've had. I had to extend it a month to pull this off, but I had a few sponsors help me out on the travel expenses and stuff near the end, so it all worked out, and it's just going to be a little later start to the roof in season this year, but the MMA, anyone that knows me knows this MMA comes before just about anything.
Yeah, well, it seems like you're in such a great place. I mean, obviously, you've had such, you know, great teaching from so many people in the GTA, but I mean, just speaking to like the Thailand specific work that we're talking about, it seems like you've gotten in a lot of great Bang Tao Muay Thai work and everything like that. So yeah, I love to see that, man. I feel like whenever I see something pop up on your Instagram with that, it's always something cool going down.
Yeah, you know, I like to, social media can be, it doesn't tell the whole story sometimes, right? A lot of people, they don't put the whole truth on there, but yeah, I've just been grinning ear to ear with the amount of support I've got. Like, I've got the Hickman brothers, Frank and George, they've really took me under their wing. Brad Riddell, kickboxing coach here, obviously, in the UFC as well, and Woody, strength and conditioning coach. They've really emulated basically a lot of what I have back home as well. Obviously, anyone that understands the MMA world understands, you might fight in there alone, but it takes a good team to get you to the highest level and keep you there. So I'm just really grateful. They've all taken me under their wing. Like Frank, obviously, he's been in Izzy and Volkanovski's entire MMA career, so as their wrestling coach. So wrestling being my main background, obviously, that's been very beneficial. And George was actually the first guy, George's brother is the first guy that I met at Tiger, and we hit it off from the start. He likes to bug me a bit, but I think that means he likes me. So he's just given me a lot of his time, and I've just the utmost respect for them, and it's a huge confidence booster, especially stepping in there down here and just having them in my corner as well. Obviously, shout out to Justin Bruckman and Joe Elliott, Gordon McVale, obviously, my main guys tattooed on my legs back home. They're going to be with me till the end, and I know they would be here in a heartbeat if they could, but we're halfway across the world chasing this dream down, so they might not be here with me, but they definitely are in spirit, and they got me to this point, so, just not looking to disappoint anyone and put on a show, man, like I always fucking do.
Yeah, for sure, and I'm sure many fights in the future to be had where, you know, they can be in the corner, and yeah, just cool you have, like, multiple spaces to get in that great work at, and even in terms of, like, some of the, I guess, like, sparring partners and whatnot over the years, I mean, seems like, you know, have you working with guys like Khairat Akhmatov and stuff like that, so love to see that.
Yeah, like James Gallagher, obviously, I was training with him for his camp. He's fighting next week, I believe, in PFL. He was originally supposed to fight Jeremy Kennedy, but I think he's fighting some Hugo guy now, too. So just, like, big names, you know, like, obviously, just knowing that I can, do certain things to these big names that a lot of people, I just know, you know, there's always people that don't believe in you, and they'd be mind blown by some of the things that I've done here. But obviously training is much different than the fight as well, but it's just a huge confidence booster, right? Like, I got the better of some kid in sparring on Monday, 17-4, bantamweight. You know, I don't fight at bantamweight. So, you know, it's just, I know the wheels are turning, you know, so I'm doing well, and I'm just super confident, and I think that's a huge mental, and confidence is a huge part in this game, right? So I'm fighting a guy who has a win in one championship. He's another good wrestler from America. But I think there's a lot of things that separate us, and I think that's just the come up. I've been fighting these top wrestlers. Like, the last wrestler I lost to was James Mancini. And when I was smoking cigarettes. So I've changed a lot of things since then that needed to be changed. And I just don't think he's fought the same type of level of competition. I believe he's wrestled the same competition. Like, he's wrestled guys like me, but those guys couldn't submit him in wrestling. They didn't have a brown belt under Justin Bruckman. So I think there's going to be a lot of things that he's never seen before that I bring to the table. And I can't wait to see his face when he finds out.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned that, because I'd seen the post where you referenced your opponent having a win under the one championship banner, and I feel like you've kind of been eyeing them for a while now. Like, I feel like that could serve the master of getting that outcome of fighting in the one circle one day. I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt having a victory over someone who has garnered a victory in the one circle, right?
Right, right. He did it pretty flawlessly. The guy was 43 years old. I mean, I don't want to pump his tires too much. he wasn't a wrestler either, the guy he beat up. But he also just lost to a 12-10 dude last week. So, you know, I like to keep tabs. I don't play too much into it. But, you know, I think I have a pretty good mind in the game, and I see things that others may not. I do my homework. So if he did too, then he knows that it could potentially be a war. And every time I fight, doesn't matter if it's a war or if it's a quick dub, I'm coming. I'm not making no plans after, you know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. I just can't wait to get in there and show everybody what I got, man. It's been too long since June. I tried to fight a little more frequently this year. Didn't really have many offers. Seemed like I don't want to talk too much shit about the boys down there in Canada and stuff. But you know, I was promised a couple of things, and they basically offered me a last minute thing with Tony on like a couple weeks, because Louis got injured, and it's like when I already had this trip booked. So not too many offers coming in down there in Canada. So you know, I had to I knew I had to do something, and you know, I didn't know it would be fighting in Thailand and the way it all worked out. But that's life, right? Take without risk you have no future. So I'm just looking forward to the future.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, and definitely, you know, looking to the future is always great, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least briefly touch on that last fight there. It must have been cool getting to, you know, win a belt in Oshawa and get to, you know, put on at Tribute Community Center, and I mean, first round finish doesn't hurt either. So yeah, what was that all like?
Yeah, I mean, that was a dream come true on its own. I got my first TKO as well. You know, I almost got 40 fights, including amateur, and I still never knocked anybody out in the cage anyway. But, you know, yeah, it was a dream come true. Obviously, my manager and Brennan Kaljanic and all those boys down there, Bruckman, you know, they helped put a show like that on. It doesn't happen without guys like that. And, I'm thankful to have connections with those guys. Like, I mean, we weren't even, that was just their first time, right? And they, I think they, I ain't ever seen a show like that in Canada. It must have been a record as far as seats sold. And I grew up in Oshawa, so like I'm from the dirty Schwa, so you know, it was extra special for me. I might have been born in Lindsay, but I grew up in Oshawa, so yeah, like you said, it was just a real dream come true. I fought on the same card as a lot of I got to be the main event on the same card as a lot of my close friends. You know, Justin Condi, Blake Oswald, Matt Embry, Bubba, Ethan. It was just a super special moment sharing the night with Matt Dawson. Can't leave that motherfucker out. I know he's listening. it was a super important moment for me, and I don't think it'll ever happen again. I don't know if it could ever be repeated again. So, you know. Every next fight is always the craziest thing. Before that, I was fighting on CFFC, and I got robbed in Philly the night before. So, you know, it seems like every fight I have, so there's always a story to tell, you know, including the whole trip and, you know, obviously just getting my hand raised. That's the main goal in all this, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was a wild one, too. The fact that you know, kept the composure and, you know, still put on the performance that you did. I mean, I think that says a lot. Like, I mean, yeah, that was wild. I almost kind of forgot about that, the whole robbery situation before the CFFC fight.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was a super big moment for me being co-main event on UFC Fight Pass. So I'm one of the biggest promotions out there. So I wasn't really impressed with my performance, but it was gritty, and I got the job done. Including, you know, I think the biggest thing about a champion is it can't always be a perfect situation. You know, you need to know how to win under imperfect situations like that. And I think that was just one of the big things that that I got through. Also, I believe that was my hardest fight. Aaron LaFarge, obviously, we keep up in touch still. I'm actually wearing a shirt right now. Funny, but. You know, he's a solid wrestler, and I think that's just a huge confidence booster moving forward. Like, the guy I'm about to fight, like, he reminds me a lot of Aaron LaFarge's wrestling. But on the flip of the switch, I just don't think he ever got tested like Aaron LaFarge. You know, he never really took those tough fights. So I think that's the difference maker in all this. But like I said, everybody's got a plan to get punched in the face, so who am I to judge, right? We'll let the judges do their thing, and hopefully we don't need them.
Well, it's kind of interesting how you're talking about this fight, because in one sense it seems like you're really wanting to be like adaptable and kind of free-flowing with where the fight goes, but you'd kind of made a comment earlier in the conversation talking about his wrestling base and whatnot in the context of, yeah, well, I mean, those wrestlers he was facing didn't have the opportunity to submit him, though. Like, obviously you're gonna like let the fight play out as it does, but do you see maybe like a submission as the predominant finish, perhaps?
Definitely. I think the biggest difference is, like, I'm not saying he's not a threat off of his back, but I don't plan to be on my back ever, really, anyway. So obviously the main goal is to submit him from the top, regardless. But I think, you know, as soon as it hits the mat, like, wrestling involves hitting the mat. So I think, you know, once it does go to that, because it's inevitable. Yeah, we're both gonna strike or 10 strike or whatever. And obviously, I want to showcase. I'm in Thailand. You know. It's something that I've constantly tried to improve on. Like you said, this is my sixth trip in Thailand. Like, a lot of the people that know me know how good of a striker I really am in the gym. It's just something that I haven't showcased very much. Do I plan to have a full-out war with him? Like, no, it's not a Muay Thai fight. So, no, we're going to wrestle at one point, whether it be in the first 30 seconds or in the last minute of the last round or whatever, right? So, regardless, it's going to hit the mat. And, yeah, I see a Lindsay headlock coming on, actually. So, who knows? He was talking a bit of shit on the thing, trying to hype it up and stuff. And it's like, well, I broke 7 guys' arms. And although I'm not proud of that, like, they do, as John Jones once said, they'd do the same to me if they could. So I'm willing to snap that thing in two and for my goal. So to live this goal of being a professional fighter and quitting roofing one day. So in a heartbeat, man, I'll take that submission.
Yeah, and I mean, mentioning Jones there, I saw he came by Bangtao for a seminar. What was that all like?
Oh, that was insane, man. It was pretty cool to even go to a, you know, how many people get to say they went to a John Jones seminar? As a guy who's getting ready to fight still, he just doesn't strike me as a guy that goes out of his way to do too many seminars. So I feel like it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And, the year before when I was fighting, when I was getting ready to, 3 weeks before I was getting ready to fight Aaron Lafarge, I actually got to roll with GSP. I went down and trained at TriStar, and obviously he fought my coach, Justin Bruckman, and stuff. Shout out Bruckman. I know he loves when I bring that up. But like, how many people get to say they went to GSP and then seminar and then 2 weeks later John Jones, right? So I'm just super grateful. I'm going to Kevin Gastelum's seminar here in a couple weeks as well. So he actually comes to all the sparring, and Kevin actually, he's one of the, he treats this gym as like a camp. So he comes to all the regular sparring classes as well. Super humble dude, actually. It's just, I've been grinning year to year the whole time. Like, even Brad Riddell, like, they're all doing personal sessions with me as well. Getting ready for this fight, like, Brad Riddell's been helping me with my kickboxing. George has been helping me, and 7:30 in the morning I gotta wake up and do a personal with Frank. We do twice a week as well. So I'm just super grateful that they've been giving me their time, and obviously I'm putting in the extra work, because I know how many people, since I started this MMA journey, I know how many people have believed in me and see my potential. So, my main priority has always been to not let myself down, but, it's always a little extra special when you're, you got so many people that are giving you their time, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's been a long road since fighting on the tarps out in Lindsay in the backyard and all that, right?
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it might have shaped me a bit, but I've grown tremendous since then. So it just means the world that I feel like I belong, in this game. When I was fighting for TKO and I had a 1-3 record, there's a lot of people that believed in me before all that, and I could read them like a book. They thought I was done, but I never did. So, it's funny to see them turn that cheek now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I felt like that was kind of the case at, like, even different points for you. I feel like it's one of those things where, like, the skills you bring to the table, like, really, like, speak for you. Because I remember you had a post a bit ago talking about, like, when you fought like a 17-time world champion ranked number 6 in the US and you were 4-3, and a lot of people were overlooking you, but I feel like people don't really, like, as much like look at like the actual context of the records sometimes. It's like you really turned a lot of things around and whatnot. And it seems like you learned from all those experiences too.
Yeah, man, like definitely. People must have all forgot type deal, right? So you know, and then actually after I should have finished that kid actually too, but he was tough, 17 world champ. But I think I scored a 50, 44, or 50 something, I don't know. I think there's 3 10-8 rounds. I got tied for like the most lopsided scorecard. Rich Franklin and some other dude, I guess, were the last people that had a lopsided card. I don't know, they were telling me some statistic after, and I just kind of wrote it off like, well, if I beat him that bad, I should have finished his ass. But, you know, I was a huge underdog for that, as I should have been, for almost a 500 record fighting a guy with 50 pro fights and 17 world titles, fought in Bellator. Like, I fought guys from that fought in the big show. And, you know, he was battle-tested. I guess there was a reason why I couldn't finish him that night. Whereas I just feel like, I feel like this guy is very skilled. I just feel like he's not battle-tested. Like, in his last fight, he got his face broken. He got his orbital broken. Sure, maybe he was tough enough to get a doctor stoppage or something and see the round out. I couldn't find the fight or not, but... I think it was in pancreas or something, but, you know, I just feel like he's not battle tested. I feel like he fought like 3 or 4 Thai guys that had, I know 2 guys. There's this one Peter guy and my buddy Top Noi. There's not too many other Thai guys that have decent enough wrestling or wrestling defense to showcase their striking against a guy like me or Colton. So, like, I just feel like he padded his record a bit, and that got him to the big show, got him to 1 championship, and, you know, he was able to pad his record a little more fighting a 43-year-old guy. Like, there's not too many Dan Hendersons out there, if you feel me, you know? And I just feel like, he's fucked around long enough, and he's about to find out.
Well, I was going to say, that's a great line. I mean, probably a good way to end things off on, but I'm curious if maybe there was a final parting thought that you did want to add as we were kind of wrapping things up here, James.
Yeah, no, I'm in the right mindset, man. It all, you're only as good as your last fight. And, you know, I just feel like, this is my time. I feel like I'm going to put on a show. I do expect to finish in this fight. I'm always gunning for that finish, and yeah, I'm smelling a submission for sure. I don't think he's heard of the Lindsay headlock, but you know, I'm not banking on anything. If we go to war and he ends up stopping a few takedowns or whatever, then everybody will find out how good I already. Most people already know that my striking is. It's in a ring, so maybe that'll create a different element as far as striking or whatnot. But I'm prepared for any way it can go. That's fighting. That's why we love it so much. You know, like I was just telling someone the other day about we just watched the Korean Zombie Rodriguez fight where he got elbowed in the last second. Like you know, Leon Edwards landing that head kick, right? Like who knows where this next fight will take me, but I feel it's only up.
Yeah, super excited to see the next chapter in the story unfurl here, and March 31st should be a great card overall, and this Colt Kielbasa fight definitely a fun one in Thailand, and appreciate you coming on MMA Canada Radio to make the time. James, all the best in the remainder of the preparations, and yeah, thanks so much for the time, and have a good rest of your day, man.
Much respect there, Dylan. Can't wait to make you and Canada proud. Welcome to Soul Season. Let's go.
Yeah, I love that, man. I always love the Soul Season build up into all the fights. And yeah, no, it's going to be great to check this one out. And yeah, thanks so much for the insights, man. All the best.
Yeah, sounds good, man. I appreciate your time, eh?